back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Bill Rabinowitz is the beat reporter who covers the Ohio State University. He has been all over the Buckeyes' run through the college football playoff bracket. First round win, beat Oregon in the quarterfinal, beat Texas in the semifinal. Now the Buckeyes will play on Monday against Notre Dame in Atlanta. I will be on the scene. You can read all of my coverage at johncanzano.com, but Bill Rabinowitz will be there as well.
Hey, John.
Bill, how you doing, buddy?
Good, how are you?
You're in the home stretch. You're almost there.
You know, yesterday, hold on a second. Yesterday, I got done with my story at like 4 o'clock. And I said, I'm just going to lay down for a minute in my bed. Just lay down. The dog came in. I basically was out the rest of the night. I was like 18 hours. Seriously, I just crashed.
I don't think people understand. You're on fumes at this point because it's like an NFL season too. It's like it's a longer season, more games. Nobody's thinking about these beat reporters.
Well, and I think about my coaches who are, you know, in watching film for these ungodly hours.
Yes.
And they got to be thinking, I hope we lose this week.
You know, give me an idea. I mean, I think at the beginning of the year, a lot of people, you included, probably thought Ohio State had enough talent to get to this point. But what's it like to see this team playing the way it's playing at this point?
Well, it's been a roller coaster because, like you said, nobody would have been surprised if you'd said in August Ohio State would play in the national championship game. They have all this talent. They retained all this talent. They brought in these key transfers, Will Howard, Caleb Downs. You know, and they got Jeremiah Smith, who's been as good or better than advertised, and that's amazing considering the billing he had. But then they played the regular season, and they just didn't look like that team. I mean, there were times they did, but not consistently. I mean, they lost, as you know, to Oregon. The Michigan game is still one of those games that's just a complete head-scratcher. And then so they enter the playoffs, and there's just this kind of trepidation, almost like ambivalence here, like, well, I guess I hope I want them to win. I mean, you know, that's the majority of the fan base wanted them to win, but there was a faction that was like, just get this thing over with. I mean, because the Michigan game was so devastating that it just kind of seemed, I don't want to say hopeless, but bordering on it. And then they come out against Tennessee, you know, when a third of the crowd is wearing, you know, that orange, and they just blow the doors down. And then they go to the Rose Bowl, and they're even better against Oregon. So at that point, you're thinking, okay, this is the team we thought they would be. And, you know, it was a struggle against Texas, a lot of self-induced wounds with the penalties. But they found a way. And obviously the Sawyer play, the Jack Sawyer play, is an iconic play instantly. And you knew it as you were watching it. As he picked up the ball and started running, you know, this I'm watching like history here. I'm watching something in live that will go down forever. And now they play Notre Dame. They're a big favorite, and I think they should be a big favorite. I like the matchup for Ohio State, but they got to finish the deal. That's the whole thing. They're not content. They're like, we got to finish it, or it means nothing.
Tell me more about you like the matchup, because I do too, but I want to know, am I seeing it how you're seeing it?
Well, for a couple reasons. One, on offense, Notre Dame is runs the ball. Well, they're missing their left tackle. Another lineman is banged up and may or may not play. Ohio State's run defense is really good. And Notre Dame doesn't throw very well or very much. And so I can see Ohio State just stacking the line of scrimmage. Jeremiah Love's a really good running back, but he's banged up too. So who knows how effective he'll be. I could just see Ohio State saying, we're going to put 8 or 9 in the box and make you beat us with throwing. And then on the other side of the ball, Notre Dame likes to play man defense. Well, Texas was really effective stopping Jeremiah Smith, who had one catch for 3 yards because they bracketed him. They played, you know, essentially double-teamed him all night with his own coverage. And that's not really what Notre Dame does. So the idea of Notre Dame being able to stop Ohio State's receivers all game just seems unlikely. I mean, look, Notre Dame's a really good team. They're very tough. But when I watched the Notre Dame-Penn State game, I just kind of kept thinking, I don't think these teams are on the same level as Ohio State and Texas.
We're talking to Bill Rabinowitz, Columbus Dispatch. He covers this team. He knows it better than anybody. Can we go back to Michigan? Because that is the one game where it just...
go ahead.
Give me, a brief synopsis of, like, when you're trying to explain this to your buddies, your neighbors are asking you, Bill, what happened in that game? What do you say?
Well, first of all, there's a psychological component to it. You know, they lost the previous three, so there was all this pressure on Ohio State to win it. They're a 19-point favorite at home. There was just no reason to think they wouldn't win. And I think what happens, this is just my theory, I've not gotten this confirmed by anybody, certainly not on the record, that I think when Will Howard took that hit in the second quarter, that really affected his throwing, or at least the coach's confidence in his throwing. Now, again, I don't know this, but that's my sense of it, because otherwise the game plan of just kind of running into the teeth of Michigan's very good run defense makes no sense. It just doesn't. And Chip Kelly and Ryan Day are too smart to just do that. So that's why it was just so weird as you're watching the game. But why are they doing this? Why are they running, right into Michigan's defensive front? I have to think that was the reason. I don't know for a fact. And Will Howard had already thrown essentially a pick six early in the game, so I don't know that they felt all that confident in him that day anyway. I don't know. And I think what they thought is they could just, it was 10-10 and a half, and I think they thought, well, we can just kind of play a ball control game. They're doing nothing against our defense. We'll get a couple field goals if need be, and we'll just escape with an ugly win. Well, Jaden Fielding missed two field goals, 34 and 38 yards. Michigan's kicker makes a 54-yarder. That's essentially, in a way, the game. And Michigan had the one, they broke a long run on the last touchdown drive, a 27-yard run when they had him hemmed in, and that was all they needed. And, they kind of choked. I mean, that's just the reality of it. They kind of choked.
Chip Kelly, I know that, he has talked a little bit this season, but not a lot, but what has... he looks to me like he's having fun again, and he's calling plays, and he's not having to do some of the stuff he didn't like to do as a head coach. What's your read on Chip Kelly in this title game, and how important is he to this team?
Yeah, he's very important, and you've seen in with some plays in the postseason, the play develops, and you go, that looks like a Chip Kelly play. Even like the first play of the Rose Bowl,
yep,
when I'm sure everyone, Oregon, is thinking it's going to go to Jeremiah Smith or a Mekhi Buka or whatever. They run a play that's designed for their tight end, G. Scott Jr., who's not a major part of their passing game, but they basically schemed it so they could get behind the defense. It was a 30-yard game, and they went from there. So the wide receiver screen to Jeremiah Smith in that game was kind of a wrinkle. So I think that he's added, that element to the game planning. I didn't really notice it that much in the regular season. I'm not sure if he's holding back stuff or just, I don't know. But it seems like in the postseason there have been some plays where you go, okay, that looks a little different. Usually by this time of year, all the plays, right? Okay, there's the wide receiver screen, there's the this, there's the that. There have been a few plays in the postseason where I haven't seen that one before.
Bill, the first play of the Rose Bowl, I'm sitting on press row, just a row down from you, and when Ohio State ran that play, I said out loud, Chip, because he knew what coverage Oregon was going to be in. He knew all the focus would be on the wide receivers, and he sneaks a tight end out there who catches the ball 11 yards downfield with no one around him, and he runs for 19 yards till anybody touched him. It was two-hand touch. He still gets 30 yards. And it's the only catch of the game. I mean, it was just so obvious that he schemed that, saying, we're going to open with that one. I also thought, the screen pass right before half against Texas, Chip did that situationally. Everybody's expecting the ball to go way down the field. The defensive linemen are coming after the quarterback, and you dump it off to a running back who can, he did that with LaMichael James. He did that with, Kenyon Barner at Oregon. He would situationally dump the ball to a back in space and go, okay, let's see what we can do here. I mean, I thought there were a couple of things. Ohio State, to me, doesn't have to do anything special to win this game. I think they're the better team. But what do you worry about if you're a Buckeye fan as it pertains to Notre Dame?
I think you worry about a Michigan repeat. You worry that you're playing against a team that wants to muck it up,
that plays very solid fundamental defense. That has a quarterback who's a you know guy with moxie. He may not be a great thrower, but he's a winner. Can run the ball. Scrambling quarterbacks, running quarterbacks have at times given this team problems. If Jeremiah Love is healthy and the offensive line is healthy, then you know the run game's a challenge. I still like Ohio State's chances in the run game. If Will Howard throws a couple picks, if they turn the ball over, there's a special teams play. That could change things. But just looking at it without kind of thinking that something strange will happen, I have to think you like Ohio State's chances in this game.
Ryan Day, I think he's getting a lot of accolades now, but how important is a national title to his legacy and what he's trying to do in Columbus?
It's huge. If he wins a national championship, then all the pressure's off until next, November against Michigan. But next year's team will not have the pressure that this team has. I mean, everything was built for this team to win a national championship, and it looked like all was lost after the Michigan game. So to win it and do it in the way they did it will cement his legacy, at least short term. I mean, everything's fleeting in Columbus. But it would take the pressure off. You know, next year they're going to have a new quarterback. They're going to have a new team in a lot of ways. The pressure will not be on these guys to repeat, except internally. I mean, internally they will think that they should repeat. That's Ohio State. But realistically, you have a new quarterback, a new running back, at least a couple new linemen on offense. You're going to lose your entire front four. You lose Cody Simon, who's developed into a star linebacker. You lose Denzel Burke. What you do have back is Caleb Downs and Jeremiah Smith, and that's a pretty good starting point on offense and defense. But it's this is the year. Everyone said this was the year. This was the old Natty or bust was Denzel Burke's line, and the team has embraced that. And so they have to win this game. I mean, Notre Dame really doesn't have any pressure. If Marcus Freeman doesn't win this game, nobody's going to say fire Marcus Freeman. Ohio State's not going to fire Ryan Day. That's not going to happen. But, there'll still be that unfinished business with Ryan Day.
There was a sense with Oregon that the window of opportunity was open. This NIL transfer portal era kind of plays into their strengths. And is aside from the Ryan Day, pressure, is there that feeling at Ohio State, or do people kind of just feel Ohio State's going to be fine with whatever ecosystem develops in this revenue-sharing world?
Yeah, I think that's more the case. I mean, look, Ohio State is unique among college programs in that it's in a major city. Columbus is the 14th largest city in the country, which you can win a lot of trivia contests for that one. Second largest city in the Midwest. So it's a large city, and it has the state to itself, a populous state to itself. And now the recruiting, blueprint or footprint is not as good or deep as it used to be. I mean, Ohio State used to just rely mainly on Ohio players and then supplement them. You can't do that anymore. It just isn't that way. But it's still a very populous state, and they've got all the resources in the world. So whatever system there is out there, Ohio State will be fine. Think of like Penn State. NIL opportunities for Penn State are just limited because they're a state college. It's a small college town in the middle of nowhere. Hard to get to, all that kind of stuff. Ohio State's in a big city. It's easy to get to, more or less centrally located. And again, the resources are there and the commitment's there.
We're talking to Bill Rabinowitz, Columbus Dispatch. Look, Ohio State's defense probably doesn't get enough credit. Before I let you go here, really impressed with 14 points to Texas. And you look back, I think really after the Oregon game in Eugene, it was like 13, 14, 17, 7. That defense really difficult. Is there anything that tells you that Notre Dame can score in the mid to high 20s in this game? Because I just don't see it. I think 14, 17, 20 points maybe?
I agree with you. I mean, that's where I kind of go, okay, what's the scenario for Notre Dame to win? I don't think they can outscore Ohio State, and I don't think they can stop Ohio State. No, they can stop. I think their defensive matchups is better. I mean, they've got a good enough defense that they can make it hard on Ohio State. but I just don't see them scoring enough. I mean, they're a run-oriented team. Ohio State's really good against the run. They've got a banged-up offensive line. Ohio State's strength, among strengths, is their defensive ends. Jack Sawyer, already a legend, now an Ohio State lore. JT Tuimoloau, a terrific player. Tyreek Williams and Ty Hamilton in the middle are really underrated. Cody Simon has played really well lately. You have Caleb Downs, who's kind of the eraser back there. So you go, okay, where does Notre Dame generate the offense? I mean, they didn't do it against Georgia. They didn't do it at all in the first half against Penn State, so they got it going a little bit in the second half. So I think Notre Dame's going to have to try to throw the ball more than they have. They have to try to loosen up that defense. And who knows? Maybe they could do it. But you haven't really seen it very much.
Bill, I will see you in the press box in Atlanta. I will be there. Make sure you hydrate, man. I know you got a little bit of rest, but get some more, man, and I will catch you down the road.
Thanks, John. Always nice to be all with you.
All right, thank you. Bill Rabinowitz, Columbus Dispatch. He's the best on that beat. There is nobody better than Bill. And, you know, you don't think about the beat reporter who's slogging through the early part of the season and covering the team all along, but Rabinowitz has just been fantastic on that beat covering Ohio State. All right. I will be there in Atlanta. You can read my coverage at johnconzano.com, wire to wire. I'll be there a couple of days in front of the game. I'll be back on the air the day after the game, but we'll have a lot to talk about. Leave it right here.